I want you to go there. I'm going to go to the Old Testament, to Isaiah chapter number 9. I can't think of two better songs or even hymnals that we sang this morning. That will help us to prepare, set the tone for the message this morning. The title of the message is Stirring Up the Darkness. Stirring Up the Darkness. In Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 2, the Bible says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. We read verses like that in the Bible, and they are encouraging. But when you yourself do not experience that light, there is a severance or a disconnect from the reality of our daily experience with Jesus, providing we're saved, than what we're experiencing in our life. There are many Christian people who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have the light of God's Word, but they're walking in darkness. As Isaiah said here, they are in the land of the shadow of death. Now you can be saved and still kind of have that cloud over you. And we want to look at some of those things here this morning. In Matthew chapter 4, we have the same principle being applied in verse number 16. Now, this is when Jesus had just come forth for being tempted of Satan in the wilderness. And in verse 16, the Bible says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is what? Sprung up. Sounds like a very familiar passage, doesn't it? In comparison of the two. And what we see here is this, that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of His Word, is the answer for mankind. And what I've been laboriously trying to do with the help of God, and haven't been perfect at it, but I've been trying to break through these emotional barriers where God can give the freedom that He wants to give people. And you may not think that it affects you this morning, but I would tend to maybe perhaps disagree with you respectfully, because if there's something in your heart that is not right emotionally, that keeps the mind churning, then you cannot go forward. You cannot enter into a new relationships. You cannot enter into new phases of life because you are in bondage. And Jesus Christ came to break that bondage. If you wasn't here Wednesday night, I want you, if you could, get that sermon. I just went over the fact that a lot of what Isaiah 53 is dealing with, some of Isaiah 54, is speaking about how much the blood, the sacrifice, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, He puts not on our physical healing so much as on our emotional healing, and certainly our spiritual healing. Now, if God put that much emphasis, you go through Isaiah 53, read all the emotions there, the oppressed, the grief, the affliction, the isolation, the labeling that Christ took on for you and I. Don't think for a moment, friends, He doesn't want to heal your heart. He just doesn't want to take us to heaven. He wants to heal our emotions. He wants to heal our minds. And that is where many Christians are bound up and in bondage. And by God's help this morning, I hope you can get that freedom that God wants you to have. You see, a wound requires the great physician. A wound requires the great physician. Sin requires the Lamb of God. That is consummated in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, He's many things. Therefore, He can meet many needs, all needs. The blood washes away sin. The cross crucifies the sin nature. The resurrection gives victorious life more abundantly. Is He not the resurrection? Is He not the great physician? Is He not the Lamb of God? Is He not the great Redeemer of mankind? All these things mankind needs, but it's concentrated in one person, not a pill and not a program, but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, at times in the old day, and perhaps in that part of the country in the Middle East now, when shepherds would go out and look for wounds and insect bites and different types of injuries on a sheep, they would go out and find these bites, and sometimes when they find an insect attached to the lamb, they would not necessarily pull it off because it would just maybe do more damage, but they would pour oil on it. And what that oil would do, it would suffocate the intruder to the point where the intruding parasite or the insect would have to release and depart from the lamb, the property that the shepherd owned. And so we have the oil of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and our hearts this morning. You see, this was not only a healing thing, but it was a soothing thing. It was not only soothing, but it was liberating. Because it had been detached from that thing that had been gnawing it and causing it so much trouble. And you see, and if we would have this understanding this morning, I want to take your mind to, there's so much I want to cover. Lord, help me to get it all in. If I can take your mind to the tomb of Lazarus this morning, many of you know Lazarus was dead and Jesus wept over the fact that Lazarus died. And Martha and Mary, when they saw him, they said, Master, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But God allowed, Jesus allowed that terrible thing to happen so that the glory of God, the Bible says, would shine through. And I'm going to just say something to you this morning. If you're going to get past some things that happened to you in your past, if you're going to get beyond it, you're going to have to come to this grip that God does not force His will on everybody. And there are some bad things that can happen. But Pastor, how in the world can I get past this question? Why did God allow that to happen in my life? And I just want to take you, you don't have to turn there, but I will go there for you. Just jot it down and get the CD later. But the Bible says in Isaiah verse 41, I think it is. I'm trying to find my place. I've got two Bibles up here. I'm in the wrong one. Both identical Bibles. I got one for the New Testament, one for the Old. I told you I got a lot to cover. And what we have here, the psalmist David, I got it right here. I told you I'd find it. You got to get past this. You see, but you can't get past it because the voice of Satan keeps poking at you. The voice of the accuser won't let it go. You can get victory, it seems like, for a day or 2 days or 3 days or for a week or a month, but something to trigger all of those emotions and mind, it'll come rushing back like a tidal wave. I remember I used to take my kids to the coast and they were very little. Matter of fact, it was down with the Ramsburgs and their Miss Stephanie's dad they have a place down there. It's kind of like a little private area and the waves would knock the kids down. Sometimes they knock me down. They just catch you off guard and just slam you. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to get wet. But next thing you know, you're just drenched. And that's the way these emotions are, and you got to get past them. So, Pastor, how can I get past this? Well, let me just read Psalms 41, verse number 11. David said this. He said, "By this I know. By this I know that thou favorest me, because my enemies do not triumphant over me." David didn't say God didn't allow something to happen. He just said, listen, it didn't destroy you. But when those things happen, Satan wants to keep it alive. He wants to keep it alive in your memory. Like, it's like you're living it again and again every day. But it happened back in the past. But he doesn't want you to be healed from it, because that is the way he holds you in bondage today. And we have to take God at his truth, where David said, he said, "By this I know that my enemies have not triumphed over me, because the Lord still favors me, because my enemies have not triumphed over me." He didn't say they didn't hit you. He says you're not destroyed. You say, "Well, I don't get that." Let me put it to you this way. If Satan had his way in that instant, he would have destroyed you totally and taken you off the earth if he could have. Do you remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, "Peter, Satan desires you." In other words, he's lusting after you. He wants you so bad he can taste you. Matter of fact, son, he's plotting on you. He wants you real bad. But he goes on to say, he says this, he said, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith faileth not." And then he went on to say something very prophetic, in a sense. He said, "When thou art converted." He didn't say that he was going to stop Satan from hitting him. He just told him, he said, "I'm going to be there with you through it." Why would Jesus pray for him if he wasn't going to be there with him to get through it? And he went on to say, he said, "When thou art converted," he said, "strengthen thy brethren." And so he said something prophetic, what he wanted to do. In other words, he's saying, "Peter, because you've denied me three times, son, I know you're carrying some guilt. I know you're carrying failure. I know you're carrying a wound in your heart so deep you denied God. You denied me. I know you're carrying something heavy, son. But when you're strengthened," you see what God wanted to do, what God wanted to do in that moment, when Satan wanted to destroy him, God wanted to use it to strengthen him. And then set him on his natural course for his purpose in life. You see, you'll never enter into that purpose of life until you let the Master touch those areas, that area of womb, that where he can set you on that course of life to be, to do what he would have you to do. For you to be the mommy, for you to be the wife, for you to be whatever that God wants you to do in this life. You see, the emotional bondage is where Satan keeps people in shackles and chains. You see, when Lazarus was in that tomb, he needed more than one miracle. He needed resurrecting, amen? But he still had a problem. He was still in darkness. I mean, he had been inside of a tomb. So he needed another miracle. Not only was he still in darkness, now he had the resurrection. Amen. You may have salvation this morning, but you need another miracle that only the Master can do. You need that touch, that healing balm that only he can provide. You see, not only did he need the resurrection, he needed light, but also he needed to be loosed from his grave clothes. And that's where the redemption comes in, from the blood Because that word redeem means to, it's lutru, to be loose, to be purchased with a price. And that's why when I was praying this morning, these old truths are not old. They still have power. They still have the power, and they always will for all eternity have the power to be of benefit for you and I. You see, Lazarus needed to be separated from darkness. He needed to be separated from his grave clothes. He needed to be separated unto the light. You see, James 1 and 15 tells us, when sin hath conceived, it bring forth death. And that word means thanatos. In other words, when the lie that you believe that you're a failure, you're never going forward, nothing's never going to get better. When you believe that lie, and it is believed, the temptation has been brought to a reality and reckoned on. You see, when that happens, that individual, and Christians can have this. You remember James is writing to Christian people. When sin hath conceived, it bringeth forth death. You see, when you believe a lie from Satan, friends, listen, that is sin. You may not think about it because your wound is so open. And when the heart has been, the emotions have been wounded, let me put it to you this way. When you gash your hand, can anything get in there? Sure. And you see, when your heart's been broke, when you've been accosted in your heart, and your emotions, there's a laceration there, and anything can get in that wound. And that's where Satan starts pouring it on. You're guilty, you're labeled, the insecurity, the fear, all these things come flooding in. And let me tell you something, if he wants to destroy you, he's going to put every negative thing he possibly can in there. Do you understand? This ain't Kool-Aid and cookies we're dealing with here. He'll put everything in that wound he can, wife, to get you bitter at your husband. Sir, he'll do everything you can in that wound to get you bitter at your wife. Young person, he'll do everything he can to put the wound, to put the ingredients in the wound to make it fester even more so you hate your parents, young person. That's the way Satan works. You see, the people sat in the shadow of death. They needed light. You see, the root to emotional bondage is the lie itself. The problem with believing a lie is that you might as well be believing it because as the truth, because the effects are the same. And when Satan tells you you're guilty, when Satan tells you you're a failure, well, that may be true in some instances what you're dealing with. But here's the thing. Doesn't the blood of Christ forgive? Doesn't it cleanse? Well, why don't we feel that? Why don't we go on from that? You know why? Because there's a difference between an acknowledging the truth from a theological standpoint to experiencing the truth. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But I want to note some things here. The proof that you have a lie embedded in your soul, embedded in your emotions is this. Is there a negative emotion that you're dealing with currently or you deal with on a repetitive basis? If so, Satan has a stronghold. Number two, if that emotion brings real pain, you have a stronghold. It could be something in that just between you and God. It could be something in a relationship. It could be some instant or circumstance of life. But there's something there that Satan is, may I say, walking your dog on. You see, truth releases. Amen. Satan binds. You see, when we peel back the truth, and you have to be brave and go willing to face the bad feelings, the bad emotions, and this requires sometimes going back in the past. But the fact is, you change the lie with the Word of God. If you change the lie of Satan with the truth of His Word, that means that you heal the past and redeem the present. Let me say that again. When you go back and change the lie, God says, if We confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us all sin. You go back in the past and put the truth on it. It begins to heal the past. Therefore, you redeem the future. How is this done? Because these truth, when you do that, you begin to experience the liberating power of Christ. Now, I want you to stay with me. You see, spiritual reality must be experienced. Experienced. Now, stay with me. How many are with me? Stay with me. How many history buffs in here? Hey, history? Have you ever watched a historian talk about Pearl Harbor? You very seldom see a tear in a historian's eye when they talk about Pearl Harbor. They may get a little worked up about it. And the people watching, you and I may get a little bit worked up about it. How many get a little worked up about it? I love America. I love our flag. I love our Constitution. You don't mess with the USA. It's just my position. But you don't see a tear in my eye. You don't see a tear in the historian's eye as they're explaining every detail. Those guys can get detailed, can't they? Yeah, they were flying at such altitude, you know, the water was this deep for the torpedo. You don't see a tear in their eye, but you talk to a man or a woman that was there on the boats. You'll see a tear there. You'll see the chin start quivering. You'll see the head starting to bow. You know the difference between the historian and the sailor or the soldier or the marine that was there? Do you know? Do you know the difference? The difference is experience. The Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, if you look up that word truth, or excuse me, know, if I remember, it's 1091 in the Strong's, if I remember right, maybe 1097. If you look at the definition, it means to feel. It's one of the definitions of that word. Reason why Satan has you in bondage? You don't feel the truth. Now, let me just stop right here. Because some of you Bible students are going to come up and say, Pastor, we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, I'm giving you a literal definition of the Greek. When God tells us to go to Africa or go out on a new job or something, we don't trust our feelings, we go by faith. I get that. We're talking about emotional, spiritual healing here. Okay, that is a different sermon for a different day. And so many pastors don't even want to touch this thing of emotion because some denominations, they put so much emphasis on emotions, we don't want to talk about it. But we're talking about a deep personal healing from the Master this morning, okay? So just put that over there. I'm with you. I preach many times, you can't trust your feelings, you go by faith. Preach that sermon more than once. This is a different sermon today, okay? You shall know the truth. The truth shall what? Set you free. You see, spiritual reality must be what? Experienced. When that World War II veteran is talking about how his buddy got blown 100 feet off the boat, landed in fiery water, and he swam out there or got in the boat to go get him, he found a charred body and the tears are coming down his face, do you think that he is experiencing war? Yes. Do you think that historian can talk all about it? Yes. You see, one man knows what it's like to be there. Let me tell you something. Jesus wants you to know what it's like to be liberated. Where you can feel it. You know it. It's down in your bones. You see, John said this. He said, that you may know that you have eternal life. I don't go off my feelings whether or not I'm saved, but I've been walking the journey enough to know that I am saved. Let me give you the illustration on that. I heard George say a while ago, what, 56 days? 56 days. And I guarantee you, Once the ceremony is done, just seconds later, you could look at him, look at any bride, look at any groom. You can just go back to yourself and say, just moments after, and ask them, do you feel married? They're probably going to say, no, I don't feel married, but I know what I just did, and I'm happy about it, right? Some of you say, I don't know. All right, just go along with it. But you wait 6 months. Wait 6 years and ask him, George, do you feel married? Oh, yeah. How many of everybody been married a little while know what I'm talking about? Do you have to ask that person, are they married? Do you feel married? Did you feel married as soon as you said I do? No, but you wait a while. You're going to get some what? Experience. Amen. Amen. And the experience is going to have some what? Feeling to it. Good and bad. But now you've got some experience. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Jesus wants you and I to experience that liberating truth that he provides. Amen. But Satan doesn't want you to, because the wound is still open. This is why you can't forgive yourself. Even though it may not have been your fault. Because the accuser is pretty convincing. Amen? He's a master at it. Mel, write this down. You can live with a scar, but you cannot live with a wound. You can live with a scar, but you can't live with a wound. This is why people in pain, they seek to escape that pain through movies, recreation, hobbies, alcohol, drugs, pornography, all this stuff. That's why I said Wednesday night, with the RU crowd, if you find out where the pain's coming from, it's easier for them to get victory over the addiction. Find out where the pain's coming from. And that pain is an emotional life, bondage. Okay? A wound could happen a long time ago, but if it hasn't been healed, you're still dealing with it. Amen? It's a natural for our bodies to want to heal itself. This is where I want to just hold that thought. I want to show you something. I was reading this past. I've studied this several months ago, and it came back to me. Psalms 35. And the only reason I point this out is because people get so down, and I understand so, and I'm not saying that begrudgingly. People get so hurt, get so weighty with these wounds. And I failed at marriage, I failed at this, I failed at that, I failed, you know. Anybody ever failed at anything? There you go, Bob. Can I get a shoe in there too? Amen. Welcome to life. Yes. Well, I'll speak on that later. But Psalms 35. I point this out just to get you insight to God's heart. I found this incredibly encouraging. Let them shout for joy. How you like that? And be what? Glad. That favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually. Now, this is David speaking here. But the latter part of the verse is what I want you to show you. Which hath pleasure, let the Lord be magnified. Which hath what? Pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Now, this isn't talking about making $1 million. I want to give you the definition. This word pleasure means strong attraction. You see, when Satan, we've talked about it so many times in the past, when our emotions are inflamed, they're alive, our emotions separate us from God. We've looked at so many examples of that, I don't want to go back over them. But you just think about Adam, how he hid from fear in the Garden of Eden, the first emotion. Think about Elijah, how he wound up in a dark, dark cave. Man on the top of a mountain calling down fire, for crying out loud. It can happen to anybody is what I'm saying. Even the best of Christians or believers like Elijah. But this, the Bible says let the Lord be magnified, which, talking about the Lord, which hath pleasure. In other words, strong attraction in the prosperity. This word prosperity means health. It means security. All those emotions that Satan doesn't want you to experience. Get this. It means the tranquility. In other words, it's a satisfied conditioned. You're unharmed. You're not being violated with your thoughts and in your minds. It means a harmonious, and here's what I want you to get. It's a harmonious state of the soul. In other words, your soul is getting along with and agreeing with the Holy Spirit of God. You know what the definition of the doctrine of sin? It's called harmatology. That means when things are out of harmony. You see, when things get out of harmony, that means Satan is in there doing a dastardly deed. That's what it is. And he wants to do it to your relationships and your marriages and everything else he can do because he wants to destroy, you see. But God has a strong attraction to bring harmony to your emotions, to your intellect, to your will, to match the Holy Spirit of God inside. And when we get a hold of that, we can stop asking, does God want to help me? Yes, God wants to help you. Yes, God wants you to experience this liberating power where Satan has you in bondage. You see, Paul said that I may know him. In other words, that I may experience him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So don't tell me this doesn't have some measure of feeling to it. Because God wants you to experience his liberating power through Christ. But long as something is there, you see, Satan harasses through memory. And I've got to hurry here. Satan harasses through memory. All right, I'm going to put it in overdrive. You got to just listen fast. Satan harasses through what? Memory. People often say, Pastor, is it a mental problem? I tend to say 90% of the time it's an emotional problem. Can I borrow you for a minute? Say, Will, you like happy thoughts, right? Do you have a happy thought today? Think of one? Maybe you hit, hey, mom's cooking breakfast. Is that a happy thought? Yeah, all right, happy thought. I like that thought too. I get oatmeal. My wife in here? No. You kids, hush. Now, while Will is having a happy thought, what if I walk up to him and stomp his foot? Is his thoughts going to go from there to here? So what does he have? Does he have a mental problem at this point, or does he have an emotional problem? This is why I say most of your problems that you're facing right now is not mental. That's where the world wants to help you. They can't help you there. It's an emotional. And it's emotional because that's where Satan plants the lie. Did you get that? He keeps that emotional wound open. The emotional subversion. And as long as he can keep it open, he's got you in bondage. But when you take the Word of God, the light of God's Word, it heals. And go back and face the painful memories. In the past, take the light of God's word and realize Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that are called, to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. So if I stomped this man's foot, this young man's foot, his happy thoughts would leave and go to where? And pain is what? A feeling. So what I'm trying to tell you is the feeling part of your soul is what has to be healed. And a lot of ministers don't want to deal with that because they may feel like they're treading on some doctrinal lines of touchy-feely religion. This is not touchy-feely religion. What I'm talking about, I'm talking about God healing you in your emotions, and that's where you feel. On the inside. Amen. I feel outwardly with my touch, with skin. But on the inside, I feel with my emotions. And that is what God wants to heal. Satan harasses through memory. You can have good thoughts one day, but let something trigger that thought, that moment. That thing that's destroying you, and your emotions and mind go back in one. You see, the emotional lie that binds, that's what binds. During the event, people often feel alone, isolated, and in time they start thinking, well, maybe I was at fault. Maybe that is, I should feel guilty. And you see, when you're feeling isolated like that, you naturally have to depend on your own resources, which makes you feel more helpless. And that's the way Satan wants you to feel. You see, Jesus was not seen nor felt during the trauma. But we have to recognize that God knew what was going on. Amen. And by the way, Jesus knew Satan was going to try to sift Peter. He didn't stop him. But he said, I have prayed for thee. And when you come out of it, son, you're going to be stronger than you ever have because I'm going to strengthen you. I have prayed for you, and I want you to, once you strengthen, I'm going to set you on a purpose that you now go strengthen your brethren. You see, Jesus wants to take that wound and heal it. But the lies that Satan's been telling you have to be done away with. Jesus was there. He was there when it happened. As soon as Peter denied him three times, Jesus did the back look, the second look. And one of the Gospels recorded that Jesus looked on Peter. Whew. You imagine the feeling he had? That guilt? Every time the boy saw fried chicken, he thought about that rooster. That's hard for a Baptist. Every time. If you go to Matthew 26, let's go there. Every time, from that point on, Peter couldn't get in his F-150. He couldn't drive down the road. He couldn't escape the thought of what happened. Stonewall Haven, I pointed some of these things out, but I want to share these with you to show you. In verse 69, now Peter sat without the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. That's a region. You see, this boy couldn't go anywhere. You follow what I'm saying? Everywhere, Jesus of Galilee. Did Peter fish on Galilee? He couldn't even have good memories now because every time he thought about good memories that he had out on the fishing boat with all his buddies and his family business and the history of his family business, he couldn't even think about that anymore now because this woman has brought up the fact that he denied Jesus of Galilee. So any good thought that he used to have, he can't have it now. Any happy thought. Satan has robbed him of everything. Everything. Every good thought this man ever had is gone. Because now it's Jesus of Galilee. How many follow what I'm saying? And then it goes on. It gets even worse. You think it's locality centric there. It gets even worse from Jesus of Galilee to verse 71. Now they're talking about Jesus of Nazareth. The man can't go anywhere without this plaguing thought of what he has done. You think he's in bondage mentally and emotionally? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's getting there. And each time, if you go through each account, I won't take up the time again, but each time Peter denied Jesus, he got more emphatic about it. And later on, don't think Satan didn't remind him of it. He denied him, then denied him with an oath, then denied him with some cursing. Imagine that. I want you to notice in verse 75. Pick out something that needed healing here in Peter. Pick it out. And Peter, what?
Remember.
And Peter remembered. And Peter remembered. And Peter remembered. And Peter remembered. And Peter, what?
Remembered.
It's like that little wheel on your computer that, you know. While it, what's it doing when the, what's the computer doing when it's doing that? What's it doing?
Thinking.
It's thinking. Peter's mind. Replay. Each time he replayed it, the wound got deeper, got more infected. And what did the master do? We saw last week, what did the master do? On the shore of Galilee. Children, have you any meat? Cast ye on the right side. What was he doing? Taking Peter back where? Memories back where? Back when he first started this relationship with Jesus Christ. And then, when they got to the shore, they brought the fit. This is, he's bringing back memories of his first moments with Christ. And in John 21, the Bible says that when the disciples got to the shore, that Jesus had a fire there. Now, where was Peter when he denied Christ? He was warming himself by what? Fire. Even last night, we was at the ski resort, and my wife said, "Look, honey, what does this remind you of? We're by fire." I'm going, "Well." She said, "Peter." I'm like, "Oh, I got it." What was Jesus doing with this brokenhearted disciple? He's healing his emotions because they're still wounded. You can live with a scar, but you can't live with an open wound. And this is what the master's touch was doing. But Jesus wasn't doing with a touch. He was doing it with his words. He says, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" Ask him three times. And on the third time, Peter felt grief. In other words, he finally got that emotion to the top. And he said, "That's what I want to touch right there." Because that is where Satan's got you bound. Right there. And how did Jesus do it? He did it in conversation with the master. You don't have to, you see, when that happened, what Jesus did, he took the memory of Peter and his emotions and he healed it. He healed it. He restored Peter to the commission of what he had. Listen, right here I got a scar. You can't see it. I can see it. I was bow fishing one day. How many of you ever went bow fishing before? I was standing on some big rocks behind a dam. I pulled my bow back, and somehow that cord that's tied to the arrow got wrapped twice around my finger. I didn't know it. And I had a fish came to the top. When I released, I felt that just for a nanosecond. I felt that string tighten up. It sounded like a .22 rifle went off. Pow! I felt the pain. I looked. I could see the bone. I can tell you all about it. You want to hear it? Stay with me. I still got the scar. That finger's doing just fine. Wave at me. Hey. Finger's doing just fine. Scar's still there. The wound's gone. You see, Jesus, he might not take the scar, but he wants to take the wound. You might not be able to forget, but he wants to take that emotional remembrance Take all the pus out where you can be healed. Will you be touched by the Master today? There's not a pill, a program, or anyone, in my appraisal, that's going to help you like the Master. Somebody touch me. And these wounds are deep and they're real. And people can't forget them. You can tell them to use logic, sometimes even truth, because there's an emotional submergence. You can put truth right beside an emotional feeling, and people, even though they're saved, will choose emotional feeling because why? They're believing how they feel more than the truth. Make sense? That's the craftiness and the deception of Satan. That's the reason why people say, I read the Bible, but I just don't experience, I don't feel it. I know God's forgiven me, but I just don't experience it. You go back and heal the wound. Tell Satan he's a liar. Realize Jesus was there. Yes, it happened, but he didn't let the enemy destroy you. By his grace. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, and Lord, there's many in here today who need healing. Maybe it's a moderate form of healing, a relationship, a crossword, or some misunderstanding, or something like that. And it just kind of comes up, and it doesn't invoke bitterness and anger and strife and things like that. Father, help us to see that is a wound that Satan just keeps open. Lord, we pray for the healing in that area today. Father, there's some who may go to more extreme things. They had some terrible things to happen in their life. Some it's wrong place, wrong time. Some was a decision that if they could go back and change it, they would. Sometimes it's gray, and there's a little bit of deception on someone else's part that caused that decision. And there's a lot of mind jumping around, mind-boggling thoughts. What if? Maybe. Why? This kind of a thing. Lord, we pray whatever it is today that you would touch, you would heal. Lord, there may be some rejection and pain in the inner man that has caused addictions or shutting people off or whatever. You know, they know. Lord, just pray for healing today. Lord, there's people who've had bad relationships and there's not been proper healing from the past, and they got these walls and guards up that are affecting the relationships present. Lord, we pray that you touch us today. Do what only you can do. Lord, there are some who've made decisions today. They know they made decisions that are not wise time and time again. And maybe they don't feel like God could ever just lift them up. But Lord, we know that you can do that. Lord, we pray that they take your word by faith today, not to trust the feeling deception of Satan, but to take your word by faith to experience that liberation power of truth from your word. Father, we love you. We pray you'll do a work here today that only you can do. Only you can do, in Jesus' name.